Forza Porza is a collective led by racialized and or immigrant Guelph community members and students, and they work mostly around migrant worker justice issues. Forza Porza both means strength in Spanish and Tagalog, respectively. And I'm here with Mary Carl, who is one of the founding members and an organizer with Forza Porza. Mary, did you want to start out by talking a little bit about the conservative government's stance on immigration issues?
I just wanted to point out just quickly that just because a lot of people ask, why do we have only strength in Spanish and Tagalog? It's because that's the language spoken by the majority of the people that we provide more direct support to. So currently, the direction that the Canadian government is taking on migrant matters is frightening. Harper and Jason Kenney have launched an all-out attack on immigrants, refugees, migrant workers, and new Canadians since they took office in 2006, with a Harper majority now looking to flex its muscles in Ottawa. We can expect a deepening of the regressive reforms we have already seen. We've seen U.S.-style raids and national security policies that have changed the definition of acceptable policing in Canada to include racial profiling, workplace raids, and harassing people at women's shelters. They've used the powers they brought in with Bill C-50 to reject valid refugee claims for political reasons from certain countries, and now can give quotas for immigration to certain countries. The Canadian government has been promoting racist ideas about so-called quote-unquote good immigrants and quote-unquote bad immigrants in order to divide communities. During the 2011 elections, we saw the Tories run an explicitly xenophobic ad campaign about refugees arriving by boat, as if it were a crime, when it is in fact a right under Canadian and international law to seek asylum. Minister of Immigration and Citizenship Jason Kenney has imposed racist visa requirements on countries and have argued that refugees from these countries are not legitimate. This undermines any semblance of justice in terms of examining refugee claimants on a case-by-case basis by the Immigration and Refugee Board. Recently, the controversial and comprehensive crime bill that the Tories passed will allow the minister to arbitrarily decide what is exploitative work for immigrants. This will probably target women immigrants who are forced to work as exotic dancers because there are not other avenues open to them as new immigrants in Canada. Denying them the ability to live in Canada does not provide for them. Providing decent work and a decent living to all immigrants to Canada is the progressive solution. All the while, there's been these political sideshows that demonstrate that Harper and Kenney are intent on cracking down on free speech and democratic rights through the immigration system. This includes the case of Jose Figueroa, who is facing deportation because of his past work with our comrades in the FMLN. And actually, the FMLN are now the democratically elected government of El Salvador. Other examples include denying entry to British MP George Galloway, who was entering Canada for an anti-war speaking tour. There have also been attempts to deport American war resistors who are legitimate refugees seeking asylum from being forced to participate in illegal and immoral wars.
So right now, there's like Bill C-31 is being pushed through. Mm-hmm. Can you speak a bit about how the future for Canadian immigration is looking?
The future landscape of Canada with regards to the status of newcomers living in Canada looks grim, very grim. It is beginning to look more and more like what's going on in the United States. There seems to be a move to close routes to legal immigration, either through permanent residency or the refugee process. The federal government is saying that it needs immigrants, but only the supposedly good immigrants that supposedly the economy needs. So this means wealthy immigrants or those with specific skilled training. For working class immigrants, this means they have two options. One is to enter Canada as non-status and face the newly escalated repression and deportations. The second option is to come as a temporary foreign worker, which means little pay, no rights, and being constantly under threat of deportation at the whim of your employer. This agenda will be carried out through a campaign of xenophobia and racism, which we have already seen.
Do you have any ideas around why these things are happening?
The Harper Tories are a racist party for sure. It doesn't mean that their racism is disconnected from what's going on in Canada. The economic crisis, which looks like it will deepen any day, means that monopoly capitalism in Canada is increasingly aggressive and looking to recover profits by any means necessary. Temporary foreign workers and super exploited non-status workers are good for business. Xenophobia and racism in general divides workers based on ethnicity or origin and tries to convince them that they have competing interests. This drives down the wages and benefits of all workers. So the answer to the Tories' campaign of divide and conquer needs to be unity and militancy on behalf of all workers in Canada, whether they're first, second, seventh generation immigrant or First Nation peoples.
Could you talk a bit more about kind of the difference between temporary worker status and permanent resident status?
Sure. So there have been hundreds of thousands of workers brought to Canada through the expansion of the Temporary Foreign Worker Program to work for very low wages with almost no legal protections and no path to permanent residency. And this is to make sure that a growing number of immigrants are disposable, super exploited labor. And I think I already answered some of the question with the second question.
Great. So what is Froza Porza's position on the increasingly discriminatory immigration policies?
I can speak as a member of Força Porça and talk about my position. The Canadian ruling class actually promotes the displacement and migration of people internationally, as well as the reason why migrants are repressed and scapegoated currently on Canadian soil. We see Canadian imperialism as playing an increasingly violent role, most often in cooperation with U.S. imperialism, in making the globe unlivable for increasing numbers of people. One way is through military interventions and occupations, such as Haiti, Afghanistan, and Libya, and maybe tomorrow Iran and Syria. The government also supports other violence and occupations happening around the globe. For example, Israel's occupation of Palestine and Morocco's occupation of West Sahara. The other way, which is perhaps more subtle but actually affects larger numbers of people, is through promoting economic hardship. We can see this in the increased rate of free trade agreements being signed, which include Honduras and Colombia in 2011. And these countries are both major human rights abusers in our hemisphere, Panama in 2010 and Jordan, and Peru in 2009. These agreements are designed to allow Canadian corporations access to labor resources and markets unencumbered by pesky things like democratic legislation that protect human and environmental rights. NAFTA has proven that these agreements can do real damage and has forced a huge number of Mexican farmers from their lands. Canadian mining companies are the biggest and baddest in the world in terms of displacing and poisoning communities around the world. For example, Barrick Gold, Kinross, Goldcorp. I just also want to speak to the definition of a refugee. We need a broader definition of refugee that would include economic refugees. Like a friend of mine says, if a person is being forced from their land by a gun or by their stomach, it's still a matter of survival. The Conservatives want to be a party of a new, more aggressive Canadian imperialism. They also want to crack down on the migration that this economic system is forcing. It is up to us to say no to these policies and make it clear that no one is illegal.
Great. So coming up this Sunday, the 29th, is the fourth annual May Day potluck and panel, and it's a Status for All potluck and panel. Could you talk a bit about what's happening on Sunday, what people can look forward to?
Mm-hmm. Yes, so this coming Sunday, For support, PRSA is organizing a potluck. We have guest speakers at the potluck. This is our fourth year. The potluck is meant to focus on highlighting recent shifts in immigration and its impacts on migrants in Canada. This event is free. We encourage people to share a dish if they can, and if possible, to bring their own plate and eating utensils, just in case we may run out. This year's speakers includes a couple people who work at the Romero House in Toronto coming, which is a community consisting of four houses and a community center in the west end of Toronto that provides housing, settlement, and advocacy services to more than 4,500 individuals and families. And its advocacy services is for the refugee community. This is a registered charitable organization that's named after the Archbishop Oscar Romero of El Salvador, who was martyred for his outspoken defense of the poor in his country. We have another speaker who is a recent graduate of the University of Guelph's Latin American and Caribbean Studies master's program. Her name is Melissa Pacualin, and she's originally from New Hampshire, USA, is a mother of a small child, the wife of a former transnational migrant, and lived in Mexico for many years before coming to Guelph. Her work has focused on the strategies that migrant parents use to fulfill their reproductive roles transnationally and the impact that transnational migration has on family structure and traditional gender ideologies in Latin America. Yeah. And the third confirmed speaker is Philip Allen, who had been migrating to Canada from Jamaica each year, working here for 8 months of the year under the Seasonal Agricultural Workers Program, which is a program of the Temporary Foreign Worker Program. Philip Allen's kidneys failed in July 2007, allegedly because of lack of protection provided by his employers on the job. And so since then, he has been on regular dialysis to remain alive, and dialysis is a medical procedure used to provide an artificial replacement for one's kidneys when they are damaged and can no longer filter toxins from the blood. Without it, Philip's kidneys will fail in under 10 days and he will die. His gravely ill health has made it impossible for him to do the strenuous work required for people working under the Seasonal Agricultural Workers Program, thus resulting in Philip's unemployability. He'll be speaking about his experience with receiving a deportation order. It's a really tragic story, especially since it's a very huge chance if he's deported, he will not receive dialysis. Jamaica is so deeply deficient in public health care facilities that most people die before their name is reached on the unending waiting list, and the private health care facilities are too expensive for most people to go to, including Philip.
Thanks a lot, Mary, for talking about the May Day dinner. So again, that's happening on April 29th at 10 Carden Street, and it starts at 5 p.m. And just encourage folks to bring a dish to share, bring your own plate, and come and listen and learn a lot more about the current regressive immigration forms that are happening in Canada.
I'll just leave everyone with Fursa Pursa's email. So that's fursa@gmail.com. And the event ends around 8.
Great. Thanks, Mary.
Thanks so much.